ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कंटिन्यूइंग आवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 89। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड कृष्णा एंड अर्जुना रिट्रीव अ ब्राह्मण हज सन्स। टेक्स्ट नंबर 45-47। टेक्स्ट 45। दर्शये द्विज सूनुंस ते मावज्ञात्मानम् आत्मना ये ते न कीर्तिम् विमलाम् मनुष्या स्थापयिष्यन्ति। दर्शये द्विज सूनुंस्ते मावज्ञात्मानमात्मना ये तेन कीर्तिम् विमलाम् मनुष्या स्थापयिष्यन्ति। दर्शये द्विज सूनुंस्ते मावज्ञात्मानम् आत्मना ये तेन कीर्तिम् विमलाम् मनुष्या स्थापयिष्यन्ति। दर्शये द्विज सूनुंस्ते मावज्ञात्मानमात्मना ये तेन कीर्तिम् विमलाम् मनुष्या स्थापयिष्यन्ति। What word? Darshaye, I will show. Dvija of the Brahmana, Sunun the sons, Te to you, Ma please do not, Avagya be little, Atmanam yourself, Atmana by your mind. Ye, who, te, this, critics, na, of us both, kirtim, the fame, vimalam, spotless, manushya, men, sthapayishyanti, are going to establish. Translations and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Krishna said, I will show you the Brahmana son, so please don't despise yourself like this. These same men who now criticize us will soon establish our spotless fame. Text 46 translation. Having thus advised Arjuna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead had Arjuna join him on his divine chariot, and together they set off toward the west. 47th translation. The Lord's chariot passed over the seven islands of the middle universe, each with its ocean and its seven principal mountains. Then it crossed the Lokalok boundary and entered the vast region of total darkness. Purport. In Krishna book, the Supreme Personality of God, Srila Prabhupada notes, Krishna passed over all these planets and reached the covering of the universe. This covering is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as great darkness. This material world as a whole is described as dark. In the opening space there is sunlight, and therefore it is illuminated. But in the covering, because of absence of sunlight, it is naturally dark. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are reading this beautiful chapter. We are in the 10th canto. We are almost at the end of 10th canto. This is the second last chapter. And an interesting episode is happening here about how Arjuna is unable to fulfill the Brahmana's, the vow he has taken to save the Brahmana's son. And now here in this series of verses we find Arjuna is ready to enter into the fire. So I was just going through the whole chapter and I found a very interesting commentary. Srila Sridhar Swami mentions that he asked a question that this particular narration which is coming now has happened quite well before the battle of Kurukshetra. Then why is it that Shukdev Goswami is narrating this pastime at the end of 10th canto? Why not before? And Sridhar Swami answers the question himself and mentions that because at the end of 10th canto, as the 10th canto is ending, so now Shukdev Goswami is summarizing the glories of Krishna. As a result, we have in the previous chapters how the personified Vedas are praying, wherein again Krishna is glorified as Supreme Personality of Godhead over everyone in this universe, in this material and spiritual world. And then we also found this wonderful chapter of Lord Shiva and Vrikasur, wherein again we find Lord Krishna glorified, how Lord Krishna helps and saves Lord Shiva from Vrikasur. So again and again the same theme is recurring of how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. And to maintain that theme, this chapter, which should have initially come before, as per chronology, but now Shukdev Goswami is narrating at the end of Bhagavatam 10th canto, so that it again reillustrates the point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in this particular chapter, here we find Lord Mahavishnu is eager for Lord Krishna's association. So Lord Shiva is there, Lord Brahma is there, all the demigods are there, but even Lord Mahavishnu also wants to take association of Lord Krishna. So that's the theme running this chapter. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in his commentary that why Lord Mahavishnu has to arrange this whole episode. Why can't he himself come to Dwarka and take darshan of Lord Krishna? So many great demigods are coming, Surya is coming, Indra is coming, so many coming. In fact, all these great demigods are also taken birth in the Yadu dynasty. So why is it that Mahavishnu is not coming? And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers himself that actually no one can enter Dwarka, Krishna's abode, without Krishna's permission. So it is not like Lord Mahavishnu wanted to come and he could come, but he actually could not come. So now if he cannot come to Dwarka, what is the other way out? Because he also knows Krishna doesn't come every yoga. Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma. So now Krishna is extolling his wonderful pastimes in this material world on the earth planet in Dwarka. Everyone is taking benefit. What about him? So therefore he decides to play a plan to get Krishna out from Dwarka to his place. And when he's thinking about how to get Krishna out from Dwarka to his place, he knows Krishna cannot come out unless there is a very serious incident happening there. A serious thing has happened. So therefore, Lord Mahavishnu decides to trouble a Brahmana. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that in the whole episode of why a Brahmana is troubled, he loses so many of his sons. Because without Brahmana getting troubled, go Brahmana hitayacha, Krishna will never be invoked. His mercy factor will never be invoked. He would not be excited to come. So therefore, the Brahmana's, a pretense of Brahmana is taken, he is troubled, he loses his son. So he comes back again and again to Ugrasen Maharaj complaining about his son. But Vishwanath Chakravarti also mentions that even though Lord Mahavishnu wanted through Brahmana Krishna coming, but Krishna did not agree for that also. Because if that was the case, when the first son of Brahmana would have died, Krishna should have gone and got the Brahmana's son from Mahavishnu. But it took all the more 9 sons and the 10th son to die. And then Krishna went. Because Krishna wanted to not only fulfill Lord Mahavishnu's one desire, but 2 desires. Because Lord Mahavishnu in his own heart had desired that he wanted to have association of not just Narayan, but even Nara, Arjuna also. So then Krishna decided, let Arjuna come into the picture, and he takes a great vow of protecting the Brahmana, and he fails, and is about to enter fire, then Krishna comes into picture. So this is exactly like what's happening in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is using all of his logic and argument, finally fails, and then he surrenders, and then Krishna starts. So in the whole episode, Krishna is not intervening. He is present in the whole assembly, but he is not speaking nor is acting. But Arjuna is showing all of his powers, and finally Arjuna comes to conclusion, I cannot do it. And then Krishna enters. So, the most important theme which we learn from this particular series of verses is how Lord Krishna, when he appears in this material world, everyone is eager to take his association. Everyone is geared upon to send all of their associates and all of their paraphernalia in worshipping Krishna. So the theme is that Mahavishnu, Lord Mahavishnu wants to associate with Lord Krishna. So today also happens to be a very wonderful, auspicious day, the day of disappearance of Ramchandra Kaviraj and the appearance of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. We will take both of them in this today's discussion, and we will continue the same theme that how everyone is interested in worshipping and associating with Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. So that will come as we move on in our discussion. But in this chapter, we learn two specific sub-themes. One is Kaunteha Pratijanihi, Nayo Bhakta Pranashyati, that Krishna has promised, Krishna has told Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, boldly declare, my devotee will never perish. So that's one sub-theme which is lingering here. And the second sub-theme is, Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you find here, throughout Arjuna's life and career as a devotee, Krishna has always intervened in Arjuna's life in saving him from very difficult situations. Let us take out of unlimited situations and incidents, just one or two incidents of how Arjuna, when there was no chance of his being saved, Krishna intervened at the right time and saved his life. In the battle of Kurukshetra, it is mentioned, in the side of Kauravas, there are many great generals. And in that, not so much well-known, but one of the person was sub-general, but not such a well-known person, was Shrutayusha. One person was a very great friend of Duryodhan. And he had not much of enmity of with Krishna, but he always had enmity with Arjuna. And because of which he joined Duryodhan's side. So Shrutayush had done a lot of penance, meditation. He had invoked the blessing of Lord Mahadev. And from Lord Mahadev, he had got a benediction of a powerful mace, Gada. And this mace was amazing because the mace, if he hurls this mace on someone, no one can stop that mace. It has to go on that person. No one can, the person itself, himself cannot defend himself, nor other person. The mace has to go. And once the mace lands on someone's head, the person's head will crack into thousands of pieces. So Shrutayush was very happy. And then Shrutayush, Mahadev asked Shrutayush, why do you want this? He said, I want to use it on Arjuna. Okay, so Mahadev said, well, take this benediction from me. But conditions apply. This is a material world. What is the condition? The condition is that you have to use on a person who is armed when he is fighting. Because this mace has so powerful effect. Even if he is armed, he cannot do anything. But the day when you use this mace on someone who is not armed, opposite will happen. It will land on your head and you will be killed. So Shrutayush had kept this thing in his mind. He was very intelligent. He was not using this mace anywhere. So in the battle of Kurukshetra, Shrutayush, the time is around the middle of the whole battle, at around the 8th or 10th day, which was happening. And Shrutayush was seeing that how Duryodhan's brothers were getting killed by Bhima. And Arjuna was rampantly destroying the whole army. So that was the time Shrutayush became very excited. And he wanted to end the fight. So he decided to focus on Arjuna and kill him. So it is mentioned that Shrutayush suddenly from nowhere appeared in front of the chariot of Krishna and Arjuna. So Krishna knew that Shrutayush. Arjuna had no idea of Shrutayush, neither about his mace. But Krishna knew everything. And Shrutayush was there with his mace and he charged towards Arjuna. And the benediction has to work. Whomever he charges, no one can defend him. And if he lands on his head, he has to die. Now Krishna knows that. So Krishna is so bhaktavatsal that Krishna just smiles at Sutayusha and captures his attention. And Sutayusha's complete focus now goes from Arjuna to Krishna. And he's completely bewildered, illusioned. I mean, he had programmed himself. Sometimes you are programmed and nothing works. It becomes jam, hangs. His computer got hanged. And then when he goes to Krishna, he takes his mace. He thinks, first let me take care of Krishna and then Arjuna. And he charges his mace on the head of Krishna. So it is, now all of you know the benediction is that if you attack someone who is unarmed, opposite will happen. So as soon as the mace lands on the head of Krishna, it is mentioned Krishna is garlanded with a beautiful Vanamala garland. And the mace returns back and hits on Sutayusha's head. And immediately Sutayusha's head gets cracked and he dies. And Arjuna is completely bewildered. What's happening? Someone is trying to hit Krishna. It comes back on him and he is killed. And then Krishna narrates to Arjuna the whole thing about how this mace was given by Lord Shiva to Sutayusha. And because he charged on me and I am unarmed, and therefore he got killed. So Arjuna understood that actually on the battle of Kurukshetra, it was not his valor. It was Krishna's support, Krishna's beautiful protection, that Arjuna was always protected. Another incident comes in Mahabharata, where Bhima called his son Ghatotkach to come and fight in the battle. And when Ghatotkach arrived in the battle of Kurukshetra, he caused havoc in the army of Duryodhan. So it is mentioned that Duryodhan was completely tensed up in the fight because his whole army was being massacred in thousands, a number of thousands. And no one was able to do anything. The great generals were all helpless. And it was almost like the whole army would be fully massacred by Ghatotkach's fury. That was the time when Duryodhan approaches Karna and tells him, you go and fight with him. So Karna has a very powerful fight with Ghatotkach. But even Karna is finding it difficult to resist Ghatotkach. And finally Duryodhan had to come to Karna and said, you know, you have this weapon, special weapon called Shakti weapon. Why don't you use on Ghatotkach? So Karna becomes very angry. And Karna says, don't you know this Shakti weapon I have kept for Arjuna? It is only one time use. And therefore I have to use on Arjuna. I cannot use on anyone else. Duryodhan says, first we save ourselves from this person, then you can meet Arjuna later. So I am ordering you to use Shakti weapon on Ghatotkach and kill him. Because if you cannot, then by the time you meet Arjuna, there will be no one around here to help you also, assist you. So then Karna shoots his Shakti weapon and kills Ghatotkach. So the bad news of Ghatotkach being dead comes back to the camp of Pandavas and everyone is distressed. Somehow that Krishna is smiling. And Arjuna is thinking, Krishna, why are you smiling, you know? My son Abhimanyu died and now Bhima's son Ghatotkach is dead. So why are you smiling? I am smiling because Ghatotkach is dead and Arjuna is alive. So Arjuna could not understand this equivocal statement that Ghatotkach is dead, Arjuna is alive. What do you mean by it? So Krishna says that, well, Shakti weapon, the one weapon which could kill you was in the hands of Karna. And that weapon he was going to use on you. But now he has used that weapon on Ghatotkach, so now no one can kill you. So you are safe. So Arjuna was happy, but he also had a doubt. So he asked Krishna, my dear Krishna, in this battle so far, yesterday, day before yesterday, so many times I have already been confronted by Karna. So many times we have met, we have fought. Why is it that Karna never used Shakti weapon before? And Krishna smiled and said, so whenever Karna came in front of you, Arjuna, I made him forget that he has Shakti weapon with him. So this is how the Mahabharata says that how Krishna was personally taking charge of Arjuna's protection. Kaunteha pratijani na bhakta punashyati. So when Arjuna declared that he will enter into fire if he doesn't kill Jayadratha, it was Krishna again who came. And now again Arjuna has declared that he will enter into fire if he cannot protect Brahmana's son. And Arjuna is about to enter fire, and Krishna says, wait. And then Krishna is now going to solve this great, great riddle, which is not even solved now, but we already have an idea of what the story is all about. So we can see that how Krishna is always geared upon protecting his own devotees. And the second sub-theme is Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. We find throughout Bhagavatam how great personalities are eager to meet Krishna. Like for example, when Krishna, when he is about to depart, before his disappearance pastime, he tells Uddhava that I have met many people, I have met many devotees, many personalities, but there are few devotees I have not met. I could not fulfill their desire, and they are way up in the Badrika ashram. So you go and give my association to them. So Krishna is readily fulfilling everyone's desire of giving his association to everyone while he is on the planet Earth. Now, here we find in this story of Lord Mahavishnu wanting to associate with Lord Krishna. Now let's go to the place called as Srirangam, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago has reached Srirangam, and on the banks of Kaveri he took his bath, then he went to Ranganath temple, took his darshan, and there he danced in front of Lord Ranganath, and everyone is mesmerized taking darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And amongst the pujaris who is witnessing the dance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is one pujari whose name is Venkata Bhatta. So Venkata Bhatta and his brothers, they are worshipping Sri Ranganath. And when they see the beauty of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his dancing, they could immediately strike a chord that this person is not different than our Ranganath. They could feel that inside the conscious mind. So after the dance is over and everyone gathered around Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Venkata Bhatta goes and strikes a conversation, and he immediately invites Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why don't you come to my house and take prasad? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agrees, and then while taking prasad, Lord Sri Venkata Bhatta also mentions that now Chaturmas is going to start. So it is not advised as per Vedas that a sannyasi should travel. He should stay in one place. So why don't you stay in my house? It's a very good place. We are all pujaris of Ranganath. Would you like to stay in my house for next 4 months? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also agrees. So for next 4 months, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is staying in the house of Venkata Bhatta. And he gives association of his to everyone in the house. Venkata Bhatta, his brothers, Trimala Bhatta, Prabodhananda, and Venkata Bhatta has son also, Gopal Bhatta. So in this association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone is so happy there. So one particular day, in a jovial mood, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Venkata Bhatta that you say that Lord Vishnu is same as Krishna. I don't believe that. So Venkata Bhatta asked, why you say like that, my Lord? He said, because I see that Lord Vishnu's consort, Lakshmi Devi, she came to associate with Lord Krishna and Vrindavan. So how it can be same? So Venkata Bhatta is saying that, Lord, this is a very difficult question, but actually it is same. Krishna and Vishnu is same. And Lakshmi wanted to enjoy Krishna's same Lord Vishnu's Rasa Leela. So she came to relish another flavor of her own husband. She is still chaste. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks in a more jovial mood, if that is so, then why she had to leave Vaikuntha and come and do penance in? Why it took so much time? Why was not it immediate? And not only she did penance, she was refused entry into the Rasa Leela. Why it happened so? So Venkata Bhatta was asked this question. Venkata Bhatta immediately said, oh Lord, it's a very mysterious nature of the Lord and their consorts. I cannot understand. Kindly you only explain to me. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that how Lord Krishna, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, and all other are his expansions. Even Lord Vishnu is Lord Krishna's expansion. And therefore, Lord Krishna, being supreme personality of Godhead, he carries special attractive features which attracted Mahalakshmi also. And therefore she wanted to associate with Krishna. So here is in this chapter, Mahavishnu wanting to associate with Krishna. And here we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lakshmi Devi wanting to associate with Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the whole philosophy that how Lord Krishna is very attractive. He comes once in a day of Brahma. And that, therefore, Lord Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. So Venkata Bhatta immediately agrees. And he also mentions, I agree with you because I see you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also knows, because he is Lord Ranganath's devotee, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reconciles the whole thing and said, actually Krishna and Vishnu are same. And he says that actually they are not different. So through this pastime we see that how in front of Gopal Bhatta and his brothers, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he established that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's attraction was so strong that Venkat Bhatta, while remained as a pujari of Lord Ranganath, he sold his heart to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became an ardent worshipper of Lord Krishna also. Meanwhile, his brother, who was not as bound as Venkat Bhatta in Srirangam, he decided to leave Srirangam and come to Vrindavan, and he became the famous saint Prabodhanand Saraswati Thakur. And Prabodhanand Saraswati Thakur's mercy, his association, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glance on Gopal Bhatta made Gopal Bhatta later give up Srirangam and come to Sri Vrindavan Dham. So we can find through Gopal Bhatta's life also this incident of how we find that how Lord Sri Krishna, his supremacy is governed in all over the scriptures. And here Mahalakshmi also wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. Coming back to the life of Ramchandra Kaviraj Goswami, Ramchandra Kaviraj Goswami, he was born in Srikhandagram. It is mentioned that Ramchandra Kaviraj Goswami was born to parents. Father was Chiranjeev Sen and mother was Sunanda. Sunanda was daughter of Damodar Kaviraj. Damodar Kaviraj was an expert physician, and he was staying in Kumar Nagar. It's very close to Jajigram. When Chiranjeev Sen married Sunanda, he got Sunanda to his home at Srikhandagram, where Chiranjeev Sen would regularly associate with devotees like Narari Sarkar and other Vaishnavas in that area in Srikhandagram. So it is mentioned Chiranjeev Sen also excelled himself as a great physician, and also he was a great poet. Chiranjeev Sen, in due course of time, got two sons. The eldest son was Ramchandra and the youngest was Govinda. So it is mentioned that soon after, in a very young age, when Ramchandra and Govinda were very, very small, Chiranjeev Sen left his body. As a result, Sunanda, the wife of Chiranjeev Sen and mother of Ramchandra and Govinda, decided to go back to her maternal or her father's house. So they shifted to Kumar Nagar. Now this Damodar Kavi, he happened to be not a devotee of Krishna. He was an ardent follower of Shakta. He was an ardent follower of Durga Devi. Great devotee of, he was a well-known Durga worshipper. So it is mentioned by our acharyas and also in biography of Ramchandra Kaviraj. Even though he was born to great devotee Chiranjeev Sen in Srikhandagram, but because he was transferred at a very early age, both him and Govinda, to his grandfather's house in Kumaranagar, and grandfather happened to be a Shakta worshipper, in due course of time, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Ramchandra and Govinda, both became Durga worshippers. So that was a transition which happened. And because they were brought up in the grandfather's house, they became powerful. In fact, Govinda Kaviraj, he became such a powerful worshipper that he would compose poems on Durga Devi's glories. And those poems became famous all over Bengal. So that was how Ramchandra Kaviraj had transitioned from Krishna to Durga. Now, the point is coming back here. As Ramchandra Kaviraj grew up, he grew up into a very handsome, beautiful man. He was also a physician. He was also a poet. So now the time had come for him to get married. So one particular day, as he went and got married, it is mentioned, his palanquin was coming back to Kumaranagar. On the way, the palanquin went besides this village, Jajigram. And Jajigram is the place where Srinivas Acharya resides. So Srinivas Acharya was sitting out with his disciples, and they were discussing Krishna Katha. And then the big pomp ceremony, like Radhanath Maharaj mentions in one of his lectures, Jajigram, that generally when marriages take place, marriages with all pomp. And because Ramchandra was coming from a very rich family, his grandfather was very rich, so the marriage also was very arranged in a great pomp. So all that big ceremony came, and it is mentioned that Srinivas Acharya had to stop his Krishna Katha because his whole big gang had come with this band baja and all that. And I was thinking, asking, what's happening? He said, this is some marriage party going on. And Ramchandra was on the palanquin, being carried. It was very beautiful. It was visible to everyone. So as he was going past, Srinivas Acharya was sitting in Jajigram. Srinivas Acharya's glance fell over Ramchandra. And Ramchandra had chance to see Srinivas Acharya's beautiful, effulgent face. That time Srinivas Acharya smiled because he knew who this person is. And then he smiled and he mentioned, people are laughing happily to tie a noose around their head and around their neck, mentioned. She was saying the other way, a person is entering into materialistic life fully and is happily celebrating his entering into that materialistic life. Those words fell on the ears of Srinivas Acharya. So he had already seen, in the ears of Ramchandra. Ramchandra had already seen Srinivas Acharya's beauty, and now the words also fell on his ears. He was completely not even now involved in the marriage. He was only thinking of those words and the beautiful face of Srinivas Acharya. And because he was in palanquin, he went to Kumaranagar. He had to go there. So he went to Kumaranagar. The marriage ceremony got over. But within his mind, he was constantly thinking about Srinivas Acharya and his words. And therefore, he could not stay in Kumaranagar. The next day, Srinivas Acharya came back to meet, Ramchandra came back to meet Srinivas Acharya. So when Ramchandra Kaviraj, who was not yet Kaviraj now, Ramchandra came to meet Srinivas Acharya, he was introduced to Srinivas Acharya as a very, very, very well-known learned scholar. So Srinivas Acharya asked his disciple, Vyasacharya, kindly you debate with this person. I want to know how strong philosopher is he. So there was a debate on logic. And the logic was how matter and spirit, difference between matter and spirit. So in that logic, Ramchandra was very, very dominant over Vyasacharya, who himself was a Pandit. And Srinivas Acharya could see that how logically astute Ramchandra is. So Srinivas Acharya immediately said, well, I think so, my disciple is no match for you. Why don't you debate with me? So now the debate began with Srinivas Acharya and Ramchandra. And as the debate was going on, Srinivas Acharya came to know that Ramchandra is undefeatable. He's very strong in logic. And therefore he congratulated Ramchandra and said, you are excellent in your logic, your knowledge of matter and spirit. And then he posed the question, the million-dollar question to Ramchandra Kaviraj. But what are you doing to come out of matter? And Ramchandra was surprised. What is this question? Matter and spirit is okay, but how you are going to come out of matter? Are your logic books going to help you come out of matter? And why don't you take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam? And that's it. That was the full transformation of Ramchandra. And he understood the point that he was just hovering over mental platform. He was not trying to get out of the material world. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer for all of his questions. At that time, Ramchandra surrendered at the feet of Srinivas Acharya and he said that till now I was eating mustard cake and salt in the form of books of logic. But today you have introduced me to great preparation elixir of Srimad Bhagavatam. And soon it is mentioned, because of Srinivas Acharya's, Ramchandra's wonderful devotion, not only he was initiated by Srinivas Acharya, but he became a very prominent disciple of Srinivas Acharya. He was so prominent, he was considered as one of the first disciples of Srinivas Acharya. So he was a very logician, a great pandit, a great scholar, a great doctor. He surrendered and became humble in front of his spiritual master. But Srinivas Acharya understood that this personality also is a great person. So therefore, even though he was a disciple, Srinivas Acharya also considered him to be like his friend. A unique relationship. And therefore, when Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur met, and Narottam Das Thakur met Srinivas Acharya's disciple, Ramchandra, Narottam Das Thakur could easily become friend with Ramchandra. It is mentioned that Narottam Das Thakur and Srinath Acharya, they had studied in the school of Jiva Goswami at Vrindavan. And they were always together. But Narottam Das Thakur always considered Srinath Acharya as very superior. So when Ramchandra came, immediately he could get in relationship with Ramchandra because he could very much somehow or other gel and very much come together with Ramchandra. So Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj became very good friends. In fact, this word Kaviraj came later when Jiva Goswami gave the title to Ramchandra because he was an expert poet. So Ramchandra Kaviraj became a devotee and initially disciple of Srinivas Acharya. Meanwhile, Ramchandra's brother Govinda, who was in Kumarnagar, he got the news that his brother had left Durga worship and became Krishna worshipper. So when that news came, he said, "I can't convince my elder brother, he is elder to me, but I will not myself budge. I am a worshipper of Durga and I will continue to worship Durga. In fact, I will not associate my brother because if I associate with him, he will convince me." So he decided not to go to Jajagram and stay in Kumarnagar and continue his Durga worship. Now comes the point here. In the night, Govinda Kaviraj, he got a dream. In the dream came Durga Devi. So we're discussing about how everyone is attracted to Krishna. So Durga Devi said, "My dear son, you are worshipping me, but do you know whom I worship? I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. He is my worshipable Lord. So therefore, I recommend you that you also worship Krishna. The same Krishna as descended of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his very intimate disciples are, followers are Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur. So kindly go, don't wait and waste your time. Go and take shelter of Srinivas Acharya." So when Govinda gets up in the morning, then immediately runs to Jajigram and surrenders his life to Srinivas Acharya. So here is Durga Devi propelling Govinda Kaviraj that you go. So Acharya has mentioned that Ramchandra Kaviraj and Govind Kaviraj, among them Govind Kaviraj was more famous for his writing his bhajans. As I mentioned, Govind Kaviraj had written bhajans on Durga Devi, which became famous all over Bengal. When Govind Kaviraj started composing poems on Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they became famous. And many poems we know in the song book is Govindidas, like we have this Bhajahu Remana, it was composed of Govind Kaviraj. So here these two brothers, Ramchandra Kaviraj and Govind Kaviraj, Durga worshippers, they became again the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna worshippers. So Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj, they always stayed together. In fact, Ramchandra Kaviraj changed his residence from Kumarnagar to Murshidabad just to associate with Narottam Das Thakur. So they always stayed together, and Narottam Das Thakur was so close and so much attached to Ramchandra Kaviraj that in some bhajans he also has expressed that he wants to associate with Ramchandra. Ramchandra Sangamage Narottam Das. That was a thick friendship. So it happened, so one day Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur, they were on the banks of River Padma. And after taking bath, they saw two beautiful children, young boys. And they were herding goats and sheep, huge flock of goats and sheep. And from their attire, Narottam Das Thakur could understand they are not some ordinary cowherd boys. They are very wealthy. So Narottam Das Thakur called him, both of these boys, and asked, "Who are you? What are you doing?" So this boy said, one of them said, "My name is Hari Ram." And I said, "My name is Ramakrishna. And we are the sons of Shivananda Acharya, great wealthy merchant in this particular village." "So that's good. But why are you herding cows and goats and sheep?" Said, "My father is a great Shakta worshipper, Durga worshipper. So therefore we are herding all this so that in due course of time they become stout and strong, and then my father can sacrifice them for Durga." So Narottam Das Thakur became very much compassionate upon these two boys because they were not knowing what they were doing. They were leading a misled. They were being misled by his father. So Narottam Das Thakur said, "Why you are wasting your time? Why don't you do Hari Bhajan?" Now, it's a simple statement, but because it has come from Narottam Das Thakur, it makes both the boys think, yes, we are wasting our time here. Why we are not doing Hari Bhajan? So they are completely mesmerized by the whole personality of Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur. So they are completely bewildered what to do. Then they go and take bath in Padma River, they come out, and they decide to again go and meet Narottam Das Thakur. And they go and meet Narottam Das Thakur, and Narottam Das Thakur preaches to them the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then immediately they become devotees. They become so much devotee that they leave their goats and ships, and without going to their father's house, they go to Narottam Das Thakur's place where he is ashram, and join the ashram. Meanwhile, Shivanand Acharya is thinking, where are my sons? Where is my goat? Where is my ship? And soon the news comes that how his sons, both sons have become brahmacharis in the ashram of Narottam Das Thakur. So he becomes very furious. And when he goes and he sees, actually his sons are shaven head, tilak, kantimala, and Vaishnava attar. And he becomes more disturbed. And then he goes and catches his sons and said, why you left the esteemed sampradaya of Durga worship? Why you joined this simple mendicants here? So it is mentioned that by this time Hari Ram and Ram Krishna had got initiated. Hari Ram got initiated from Ramchandra Kaviraj and Ram Krishna got initiated from Narottam Das Thakur. So they start preaching their father that how you are an illusion, you are wasting your time. And Shivanand Acharya could not do anything. First of all, he knew that they are fully convinced and therefore he could not force them. So he comes back to his house but is thinking of a dubious plan of somehow or other getting back his sons. In the night when he is sleeping, Durga Devi comes in a dream of Shivanand Acharya and starts abusing and shouting at Shivanand Acharya. If you ever think of any dubious plan to do any harm to Narottam Das Thakur Shiva, I will destroy you and your whole family and whole generations. You don't understand, Narottam Das Thakur is an exalted personality and your sons have taken shelter. You follow in the footsteps of your sons. So next day Shivanand Acharya runs and he takes shelter of Narottam Das Thakur and he becomes a disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. The whole village is amazed because Shivanand Acharya has become devotee, the whole village becomes a devotee. That is how the power of Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj is. Meanwhile, the fame of Narottam Das Thakur has reached all over the place. And there is this one king, Raj Narsingh, who also is very much a Shakta worshipper. So he comes to know from the smart Brahmanas that how, of course, he is misled by smart Brahmana. They tell that how Narottam Das Thakur is a Kayastha, but is initiating Brahmanas. So that is not good for the society. So taken over by this misled, Raj Narsingh decides that he will defame Narottam Das Thakur. And he decides the best way of defaming is to defeat him in a debate. So he calls upon a very famous pandit in his kingdom, Rup Narayan, and tells him, we'll go and we'll debate. You debate Narottam Das Thakur, completely defeat him, and then he'll surrender to you. And this way the whole kingdom will be back into normal condition. So it is mentioned that as Raj Narsingh and Rup Narayan leave on the chariot, there's an entire procession of soldiers and Brahmanas chanting. There are some soldiers who are an advance party to check everything is going, the roads are okay, where they should camp and all. When the news reach about Raj Narsingh and Rup Narayan coming towards Narottam Das Thakur, the news reach Ramchandra Kaviraj's ears. And he decides that why should Narottam Das Thakur waste his time on this simple pandit? We'll take care of him. So immediately Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, who also happens to be there, Ganga Narayan Pandit, I guess, yeah, he also there. So Ramchandra Kaviraj Goswami and Ganga Narayan did decide a special plan and they changed their vesh, their attire. One of them dressed as a panwala, a betel nut seller, and one of them dressed as a potter, making pots. And then they go to a marketplace, exactly on the road where Raj Narsingh's followers are coming. So they are there. And immediately the soldiers come and they decide to buy some paan. So they go to the paanwala and they ask questions in normal language. But immediately paanwala speaks in Sanskrit. So they are very surprised. Hey, paanwala is speaking Sanskrit. And then he said, by the way, you also go to the potter, you know. So they go to the potter and potter is also speaking Sanskrit. So they are amazed. This village where Narottam Das Thakur is staying, the ordinary potter and paanwala are all speaking in Sanskrit. They are pandits. And now they have doubt. What will our Rup Narayan do, you know? So they immediately run behind and tell Raj Narsingh, this village is not an ordinary village. This is a very special village. Why? Because potter and paanwala, they are speaking in Sanskrit. So immediately Rajna Singh sends his brahmanas, go ahead and talk with the potter and panwalas. So they go ahead and talk with potter and panwala. Panwala, potter defeats the brahmanas. They go running back and Rajna Singh is surprised. What's happening? My brahmanas are defeated by potter and panwalas here. So Rup Narayan said, don't worry. This is my initial test. So I'll do it. So Rup Narayan goes along with Rajna Singh there. And there's a debate between potter panwalas with Rup Narayan. And potter and panwala, who happened to be Ramchandra Kaviraj and Ganga Narayan, they easily defeat Rup Narayan. And then Rajna Singh says, you Rup Narayan, you could not defeat a potter and a panwala. I am ashamed, you should not even enter the village and even stand before Narottam Das Thakur. So they all go back to their village, to their town. Meanwhile, it is mentioned again in the night, in the dream of Rajna Singh, who is Shakta worshipper. Durga Devi comes and tells him that why don't you go and take shelter of the lotus feet of Narottam Das Thakur and become his disciple. The same dream comes to Rup Narayan. And the next day, both Rup Narayan and Rajna Singh, they surrendered the lotus feet of Narottam Das Thakur. So it is mentioned that in this way, there is an intimate association between Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur. In due course of time, when Srinivas Acharya shifted from Bengal to Vrindavan, it is mentioned during the time when Srinivas Acharya was in his last days, Ramchandra Kaviraj also bid a goodbye to Narottam Das Thakur and came to Vrindavan to stay with his spiritual master. Srinivas Acharya left his body in Vrindavan. His samadhi is in Dhir Samir area, near the place Vamshivat. And in due course of time, because he was not able to the separation of his spiritual master was very intense for Ramchandra Kaviraj. So in due course of time, he also left his body. And this news reached Narottam Das Thakur, who was in Murshidabad with his deity of Sunar Gauranga. It is mentioned that Narottam Das Thakur, when he heard that, he was feeling very intense separation from Srinivas Acharya and also from Ramchandra Kaviraj. And he sang that song, Jai Anilo Premadana, also there. And in that intense separation, he called his disciple that now my time also has come. Kindly follow me. And everyone is in tears. And Narottam Das Thakur enters into Ganga. And then while bathing in Ganga, he tells his disciples to bathe him with the waters of Ganga. And while bathing in the waters of Ganga, Narottam Das Thakur's spiritual divine body melts into the form of milk into Mother Ganga. And then he also disappears. So this is today's beautiful day of the appearance of Gopala Bhatta Goswami, disappearance of Ramchandra Kaviraj, and how we can see from both of their life, even their stories, and the theme here that how everyone is eager to associate, worship Krishna. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, there is an announcement. One of our devotee, Ras Govind Prabhu's maternal grandfather, Kiran Rao Kadam, has left his body yesterday evening. So he has requested all the devotees to kindly pray for departed soul.